Welcome to Today's Homeowner with Danny Lipford, your partner in home improvement. Everyone has questions about their home. We've got the answers, and we have a few laughs along the way. Informative, entertaining, and sometimes off the wall. Home improvement has never been this much fun.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show. Danny Lipford here, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and happy Halloween. This is a big
weekend for
a lot of people. It seems like it's getting to be bigger and bigger. Just certainly hope everybody's nice and safe, and we're still going to bring you some of the most practical, realistic, most current home improvement information you're going to find anywhere. Squeaky floors, we have a homeowner that's getting in trouble getting that midnight snack, so we're going to try to help them out a little bit there. It's like an alarm going off in the floor, so we're going to see what we can do there. Also, I've got a cool idea for a portable fire pit. Think about how often you want to have that fire
portable tailgating,
okay. Camping, doing just about anything. We'll give you some ideas on that. Also, we almost always have questions about countertop refinishing. We've talked a lot about it over the years. We have some more information coming in on that. Also, Whirlpool tubs. It seems like they're not as popular as they used to be. Some people still have them. We have a homeowner that's got a really big ugly problem with it. We're going to try to help out on that. Joe, what about that simple solution coming up in a little bit?
All right. I've got a quick tip on how to prevent the fascia board on your home from rotting out. The fascia board is that horizontal board at the edge of the roof that the gutters are usually nailed to. And because of its location, it often has a tendency to get water damage and eventual rot. So I have a quick, simple solution to prevent that from happening.
Okay, I'm sure a few people are leaning in on that one because that is a very, very common problem. So great to hear the solution coming up in just a little bit. Hey, we want you to reach out to us anytime that you have a question, a comment about something you'd like to hear, or maybe you have a fantastic tip. We give you several different ways to go about that. You can pick up the phone and call us on the Today's Homeowner Hotline 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at 800-946-4420, or you can send us an email by heading over to todayshomeowner.com/ask, and also you can send us messages through Facebook or Instagram, or you can send me a tweet at Danny Lipford, and we have a whole stack of those that we're going to try to catch up on here during this hour as well. So we've got a lot of things going on. Joe, I mentioned Halloween. I was traveling out to California a few weeks ago, and man, I could not believe the elaborate displays in some of the neighborhoods I was
really
in. It's incredible. Some, you know, I think a lot of people heard us on that in the aisles about Home Depot, because Home Depot has these incredible displays now, not only the inflatables, but I saw this like 9-10 foot skeleton out in several people's yards. So I think that's kind of the new trend and everything. But going back a few years when you were out there in your little costume, your little Batman costume that you run around in. So tell me about some of the memories that you have on Halloween. Was it a big thing when you were growing up?
Oh, absolutely. It was, everyone looked forward to it. All the kids in the neighborhood. I lived in a perfect neighborhood for that. It was a very suburban neighborhood. The house is relatively close together, all on like quarter acre lots. So you could hit, if you're fast enough, you could hit a lot of houses. And thing I learned pretty early on is that in those days, the kids used to have either little paper or plastic bags or something to collect the candy, or sometimes the little plastic pumpkins. I thought, man, you gotta do better than that. I mean, those things didn't hold that much. They often ripped. So I decided to use a pillowcase. My mother wasn't, I didn't ask my mother. I just took the pillowcase off my bed, and I thought that would be perfect. And I used that for several years because it doesn't rip. It's nice and big. You can almost load the thing up. And our idea was to go to as many houses as possible. So it wasn't like a relaxing evening. We were sprinting the whole night. But we had a ball. We loved it. You know, in Connecticut in the autumn, you know, it's usually nice and cool. Occasionally it was cold, but that's what I remember. I mean, you're down in South Alabama and Florida, so you had a slightly different experience, I suspect.
Now, when you brought the candy home, did you spread it out on the floor and show everybody what you had and, you know, divide it up and all of that?
Yeah, what we actually used to do is at the far end of the neighborhood, we'd sit underneath one street light and we'd go through, we'd sit there for a half hour and just pick through and see what we got and eat our favorite, then bring it home. Then I think I used to just put it in a bowl in my room and eventually eat it through the course. You know, because I had an older sister and a younger sister, and you know, so I didn't have any
competition. They helped you out a little bit with that.
Yeah, right.
Halloween in the South, and you're wearing mask or whatever costume. Right, yeah. All of those costumes are incredibly hot. And, you know, when it's pretty warm, I just remember sweating a lot with that mask and, it, you know,
sweaty. Yeah, we didn't have that
and things like that. But let me ask you a question. When are you too old to trick-or-treat? Because, of course, I live in the country now, so nobody knocks on the door. But in my previous house I lived in for 29 years, we would have a lot of trick-or-treaters. But it seemed like towards the end of the night, these guys would show up with lame costumes or no costumes.
Right.
And backpacks. And so they come, they go trick or treat, and they turn around so that you can throw stuff into their already overburdened backpack. And I often think there should be like a time limit on that or an age limit on it. Because, I mean, some of these guys, I think they drove up in their trucks. You know, it's like, come on.
Back the truck up. Just throw it in the bed of the truck.
Yeah. So
well, I think you should start carding them like you card people at a bar to make sure they're old enough.
I don't know what that age group is. I would think 12 or 13, you know, you need to start cycling out of it, you know.
Yeah, I think the last time I went trick-or-treating, I think I was like 12, maybe 13. I think I was 12. And even at that point, I thought, no, I'm a little old to be doing this. And then it just ends, you know, that's it. It's all over. But I tell you what, if you want to hear one of the funniest takes on Halloween ever, in my opinion, go to YouTube, I guess you could find it, and just look up the Jerry Seinfeld routine on Halloween. He talks about as a kid growing up, when he first heard the idea that somebody's giving out candy, like candy. Who's giving out candy? Like he couldn't even process it. It's a very funny routine. If you get a chance,
good recommendation.
Take a listen
I'll
for
have
that.
To. Yeah. That's a good Halloween viewing to get you inspired out there. So, yeah, well, it is a special time. And I don't know, maybe it's just my impression. People are decorating earlier. They're putting more extravagant, you know, not only the big blow-up figures, but you're seeing the orange light, strings of light.
Yeah, they're Halloween lights. That's right.
Yeah. You know, things like that. So good. But it just make sure everybody's safe and take care of everything. And, you know, I can say be careful not to eat too much candy, but I may as well go out and talk to the oak tree outside because that's not going to happen. But well, how innocent a little bowl of candy laying there, of Halloween candy. And, you know, you go by and you grab that Reese cup and you grab that, and, you know, that is just really not a very healthy snack there at all. But
No. I remember as a kid, some people used to hand out apples. And I thought, what are you doing? It's Halloween. I can get my own apples. Yeah, I want some Snickers.
I agree. Well, I hope everybody has a great time out there and different experiences for different people all over. But it's great to think about all those memories from a long, long
time. Well, you have the grandkids now. They're just at the right age. That's going to be quite a scene. Are they going to walk around their neighborhood, I guess?
We'll go up and walk around their neighborhood. And, I got a picture the other day with my little grandson dressed up as Buzz Lightyear, which is just cute as can be. And then two of my granddaughters are dressing up as Woody from Toy Story.
Oh, yeah, Toy Story,
And, I mean, with the little hats and the little vest and all of that, I mean, it's just hilarious. And they can't wait. And they know how it works. They know how to muscle themselves in there and get all of the candies. Well, we're just getting started here on today's Homeowner. We're going to be talking about a lot of different things. And so often, many of the things that we talk about and the calls that we get, the emails that we get, are hitting on subjects that a lot of people are interested in. There's a lot of different subjects that keep reappearing and some of the things that we want to, you know, go over and cover with you. And as I mentioned earlier, the social media outreaches that we've gotten and some of the engagements that came in direct messaging off of Facebook, I'd encourage you to do that. If you have a question, there's a lot of different ways that you can reach us, because what we're here for is to help you with any of the challenges you may be having as a homeowner. We all have little things that we need to do, want to do around the house. We're here to help you. Just getting started on this week's Today's Homeowner Radio. We'll be right back.
When you download the Home Depot app, taking on big or small projects starts with a tap. It's your pocket-sized toolbox for getting more done. Image search helps you find what you need with a snap. Store mode pinpoints exactly where to go to get what you want while you're at our store. Or just tap to arrange for easy curbside pickup, all from the palm of your hand. It's the app that's made for doing. The Home Depot app. How doers get more done.
If you're looking for an extra measure of comfort, convenience, and cleanliness in your bathroom, nothing delivers it all like the SoftSpa electronic bidet toilet seat by FluidMaster. The SoftSpa is a full bidet offering a luxury experience without the expense of replacing your toilet. The SoftSpa features fully adjustable water pressure, temperature, and positioning, as well as a heated seat and warm air dryer. Don't settle for less than luxury in your bathroom. Trust FluidMaster.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by The Home Depot. How doers get more done.
We're so proud of all the wonderful radio stations all over the country that air Today's Homeowner Radio each and every week, just like WLEA AM 1480 in Hornell, New York. Special hello to everybody in that neck of the woods, and hope that we can help you with any problem or challenge or question you may have around your home. You can pick up the phone and call us right now, 800-946-4420, or send us an email at todayshomeowner.com/ask. Right to the hotline. Ryan is on the hotline from East Peoria, Illinois. Ryan, welcome to the show, and tell us how we can help you out there.
Hey, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So we just bought a house, and it's our first house with a full basement. My wife sleeps during the day. She works at night. And with a five-year-old running around the house, you can imagine it gets pretty noisy. So anything we can do to quiet things down. In this particular home, the floor squeaks, and it squeaks a lot. In some places, almost everywhere you step, it's creaking and squeaking, and it carries throughout the house. So I was going to ask if you guys had some recommendations on perhaps some things we could do that might help deaden that. We have a luxury vinyl plank that's fairly new, so we'd not prefer not to pull that up if needed, but I wasn't sure what you guys thought.
Is the floor, do you know if the floor is glued down or is it floating, a floating floor?
It's floating.
We know one thing is the squeaks are a result of friction. That's materials rubbing together. What would be the mystery here is whether or not that friction sound, the squeak, is coming from the floor or the subfloor underneath. That is going to be the tricky part to discover that. Joe, what do you suspect on this?
Yeah, Ryan, the good part is you have access from below, which often people do not, and it complicates the problem. I suspect that the squeaking is coming from the plywood subfloor or whatever the subfloor is, where it's meeting the top of the floor joist. Now, when you put down this new vinyl floor, they had exposed the plywood before they put this down. They took up the old flooring, whatever was there, and they put down the vinyl. Was the plywood exposed at that point?
Well, I'm not for sure. It was here when we moved in.
Okay.
I know
it was
installed not too awfully long ago.
Okay.
But I don't know.
Well, yeah, the reason I bring that up is because whenever you're putting down a new floor, you should always screw down the subfloor. Often it's only nailed down or it's screwed down with only a few screws because that's your only opportunity to really screw it down tight.
Mm-hmm.
So from what I would recommend is go down below and get someone to walk around on the floor above.
Mm-hmm.
And you might have to remove some insulation to see, to identify exactly where the squeaks are. But when they walk and the floors move up and down and squeaking, if you can identify directly beneath them, take a wooden shim and smear a little wood glue on it and just tap it into the joint between the top of the joist and the underside of the plywood subfloor. And you don't want to drive it in because you don't want to raise the floor. You're just trying to fill that space so that the plywood doesn't keep bouncing up and down. Because sometimes it's squeaking just on the nails that are holding it in place and it's sliding up and down. So that's what I recommend. Go around and just try one or two places to see if that works. And you'll know almost immediately. Because if the shims stop it from moving up and down, and sometimes you can put a shim in from both sides, and you may find some gaps, you know, because maybe the joist also had a bow in it, but instead of bowing up, it's bowing down. You know, you should always install them with the crown up so that they might flatten out, but sometimes people don't do that. So you might find a couple of gaps, you know, as big as an eighth of an inch or so. And so that's what I'd recommend. Try that and see if that takes out the squeak so your child can run around without waking up mom.
Okay. Thank you so much for the tip. I appreciate that.
Yeah, of course. Try that and let us know how it works.
Okay.
Ryan's main concern is getting that sandwich at midnight without anybody else knowing about it. That's the main thing.
Sneaking
you
down
know
to
me
the
too well. Yeah.
Well, best of luck on that, Ryan. And if we can help you any other way, just let us know. And have a great weekend.
Hey, thanks so much. You guys take care.
Okay, my pleasure. Thank you. Yeah, you know, that can be such a problem. And you're exactly right, Joe, having access under it, whether it's the stairs or traditional flooring or whatever, you can do that. And I'll tell you, one time on a staircase, I was amazed that we had a big problem like that with an existing staircase with really excessive you know, noise because they nailed it together instead of screwing it together. And maybe during the course of construction, it got wet a time or two, and that might have loosened up the fasteners a bit. We were able to go under just what you're talking about and putting some small wedges, very small wedges, wherever we could. Then we took construction adhesive in a tube, and we caulked down each side where the stair tread was on top of the stringer and just basically forced all of that adhesive in there and allow it to dry. And between it stabilizing and cushioning it and everything else we did, we took out about 90% of the crack. The homeowners were thrilled because it just drove them crazy. The creaky old, they called them the haunted stairs. So it made a big difference on that. Hopefully that'll help Ryan out on his bit of a challenge. Going to the emails now. I'd love to get an email from you. You can send us one right now or anytime by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. This came in from Kristen in Florence, Alabama. Hi, Danny. I'm a single woman and first-time homeowner, and although I'm not very handy, I love doing my own small home improvements. I recently removed some old wallpaper in the dining room using the stripper recipe you shared the other day. Now, I want to update my bedroom with a fresh coat of paint and new carpeting. My question is, do you have any tips for removing the baseboard? Hey, thanks for all your help. I listen to you and Joe every weekend on WBCF AM 1240. Well, Kristen, we certainly appreciate you listening to the show. And the recipe that you mentioned for wallpaper remover has been one that's been extremely popular. We would encourage you, if you're about to attempt to take some wallpaper off any wall, to head to todayshomeowner.com and look up wallpaper remover tips. A lot of great ideas and a lot of great materials there that can help you out on that. But as far as removing the baseboard, I would get a bright light and look closely at the surface, the face of the baseboard. And if you see any nails or any fasteners, then use a nail punch to punch those through. Yes, you will make a little hole in the face of the baseboard, but it's going to be the easiest way to remove that baseboard. Then make sure you take a good sharp razor knife and score the top of that where it's caulked or painted to the wall to prevent any damage to the wall when you remove it. And once you get it started, a lot of times you can use these little small flat bars, just little small ones that are available. You'll be surprised how handy they are just to get it started. And then after a while, you can slip your hands behind it and slowly remove the baseboard off. But just take your time. Be careful. You want to reuse that baseboard if you can, because it's probably better than you can buy now, and it's going to match exactly what you have on the house. Let's get another quick one here. Marjorie from Pennsylvania. We have several custom-made quilted blinds for our home that need cleaning. Is there an easy, safe way to clean those blinds? Now, these are very expensive, and I don't want to ruin them. So, Joe, let's don't ruin the blinds, but what do you recommend on getting those a little cleaner there? They are quilted.
Yeah, they're quilted, yes. You have to be, I mean, the best thing is to take them down. I know it's a big pain in the neck, but if you can take them down, you can soak them in a bathtub of warm water with a combination of oxygen bleach and woolite. That's what they recommend for these blinds. And oxygen bleach will not bleach out the color, so that's the reason you use oxygen bleach, not chlorine bleach. You know, lightly scrub them with a soft bristle brush and hang them up to dry outside, preferably, because they're going to drain a lot of water before they're finally dry, and leave them in the sun. The only other way to do it, if you can't take them down or you choose not to, you can leave them in place and you can spray them with a rug and upholstery cleaner. I think there's one called, what's it called, Resolve or something like that. I'm not sure. But anyway, it looks like spray paint, but it sprays out a solution for cleaning rugs and upholstery. Spray it on, and I think you let it just sit there and dry, and then you vacuum, brush it off or vacuum it off, something like that. So you can try one of those methods. I guess I would try just cleaning them in place first. If that works, fine. If it doesn't, then take them down and soak them in a tub.
There you go. Yeah, just give it a try. It might make a big difference without even having to remove them at all. Hey, coming up here on today's Homeowner Radio, I'm going to tell you about a portable fire pit you can tuck under your arm and take it wherever you want to go. All that and a lot more. So stay with us.
Today's Homeowner is brought to you by Tight Bond, the pro's advantage.
And welcome back to the Today's Homeowner Radio Show, brought to you by the Home Depot. And it's time for our Best New Product segment. Now, what we want to tell you about here is a portable fire pit. You know, on a cool evening, there isn't much better than sitting by an open fire outside. And all you need is something to contain the fire. But the folks at Tiki decided that wasn't quite enough. So they decided to elevate the experience with their portable fire pit. The biggest downside to a fire pit is the smoke. So this unit's designed specifically for a low smoke experience. Cleaning up the ashes is also much easier with this removable ash pan they have on this, and this compact pit is truly portable thanks to the built-in handles. Now, this makes it perfect for camping or tailgating, and the stainless steel construction means it's going to last a long, long time. Plus, it comes with a stand, cover, and a wood pack to get you started on the first fire.
So it even comes with the wood.
Even with the wood, Tiki Portable Fire Pit is available at Home Depot. You can check it out at homedepot.com. I've thought about that the other day. I have so many of my friends that have fire pits, and I have in the long-range plans to put one down between the house and the water. Just one of those things I hadn't gotten around to, but it sure is nice on those cool nights to have a little fire like that. So not bad. A lot of those have the grates that you're able to add to it or kind of flip it over in place. And I think that's a pretty cool way of going. You know, we talk about reaching out to us, and we do mean any time that we can help you to do so. And one way you can do it is right now to go to the Today's Homeowner Facebook. You want to make sure you like us, and then go ahead and send us a direct message. That's what Davis did. Davis says, hi, I have a question. I had my deck closed in to make a screen porch, and they also built a roof over it. I would like one day to tear the wood deck out and replace it with a concrete slab. How will the roof stay in place, and will I have to have the screen porch torn down and start all over from the beginning? Well, Davis, I can tell you I have done this very job more than one time, because what happens so often is there's quite the evolution that takes place on some of those outdoor living spaces. Maybe you build that deck, and man, this is great. You're relaxing. It gets a little hot or it rains. So you build the roof over it. You build the roof. If you do it right, then that allows you to continue the evolution and turn it into a room sometime. But to answer your question, the way that I've done this in the past is, and it's very critical that it be done right, and that is to support the roof with temporary supports. Now, usually that will not be a simple 2x4, probably a 4x4 that you attach to the corners of it, of the beam, going down to the ground. Now, don't just set it on the ground. You need to make sure that it's secure, that it won't slide, because what you don't want is for there to be any movement in the roof itself, which could cause you problems with leaks later on where it joins into the roof. So make sure it's good and stabilized, staked off, put an extra stake in there, screw everything together, make sure there's no chance of it being bumped in that roof falling or causing it to pull away. After that, and these braces that you're putting in are angled out in such a way that the wood deck can be removed and the forming can take place so that the slab can go in. But that's a real good way to gain a little extra outdoor living space, screen room, or eventually turn it in to a room. Here's one for you, Joe. Came in from Ann. And Ann says, I have a question about water filters for the kitchen sink. I've had two plumbers tell me that I need to repipe my entire house and put in a water filter. Wouldn't just putting in a water filter at the sink be sufficient? They say my pipes are corroded and buried in the ground. Obviously, they can't be totally buried in the ground. They're copper pipes. At least the incoming are copper. The outgoing is PVC. There is some flex heading out to the washing machine and so forth. So they're recommending repiping the whole house. Now, with copper pipe, it doesn't have the tendency to build up the sediment and so forth inside the pipe as galvanized pipes do and so forth. So I'm not really sure, unless it's an extreme situation, that repiping is necessary. What's your thoughts on this and getting the filter in here?
Yeah, I mean, Ann might need to repipe her house, but doesn't have anything to do with the filter. You know, if she has some old galvanized pipe that's buried in the ground and it's rotting or corroding or whatever, then yeah, they're going to have to do what they need to do, dig it up and repipe the house or whatever. I mean, there are ways of doing that. But as far as the filter, I'm not sure if she's talking about like a reverse osmosis filter that it will be under the sink, or just, you know, a water filter attached to the faucet itself. Either way, there should be no reason she can't install a filter, because again, that's a separate issue than whether or not she has corrosion in her pipes. Maybe they're saying the corrosion is going to come through and clog up the filters, which is true. But whatever water comes out will be filtered. So I think what I would do is first find out if the pipes need to be replaced and have the water tested just to see what the condition of the water is right now.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Have the water tested. And if your main concern is your drinking water, then certainly you can put an inline filter under your main sink. And also, you might even consider if your refrigerator has a water dispenser on the front, it has a filter in it. You might need to change it, but that's another way to get that purified water. But getting a water test takes all the guesswork out of it, and we would strongly suggest that. One more message that came in through the Today's Homeowner Facebook from Frank that says, my question is in regards to the seam between my cement garage foundation and the asphalt on the driveway. Should this ever be sealed? I've always seen it left open, but wonder if snow, ice, and rain might be harmful to it. I'm located in southern Maine. I would strongly recommend to you, Frank, and anybody else, go out to your garage and look at that area between your foundation right at your garage door and your driveway, whether it's asphalt, concrete, or whatever. If there is a crack there, and I'll bet there is, let's get it filled up. It's very, very important. You wouldn't believe the settling that can take place, both usually on the driveway, but also it can cause some settling on the garage itself. If that snow, that ice, that water continually can get in there, and to fill this up is much easier than you might imagine. Now, there's a thing called backer rod. It's not an actual steel rod. It's actually a piece of foam that you can push down into that area, that crack, if it's a sizable crack. You push it down in there, leave at least 3/8 of an inch gap on top, and then fill over that with a concrete repair caulk that'll stay flexible so that when you have thermal expansion and contraction, it will continue to expand. But the main thing it'll do is it'll block that water from getting under the slab, which can cause some pretty severe settling later on. Hey, we appreciate all of these Facebook messages. And remember, go to Today's Homeowner Facebook and send us a message anytime. Hey, you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lippert, along with my buddy Joe Truini. We'll be right back. When your house needs a new roof, it's important to make a good investment. The roof is literally your home's first line of defense against the elements, so you want something that's durable, low maintenance, long-lasting, and protects your home from strong winds, hail, and even wildfire. You want a quality metal roof because it performs as beautifully as it looks. The Metal Roofing Alliance can help you find the metal roof that's right for you. Check out their free Metal Roofing Buyer's Guide at metalroofing.com.
If you're looking for a simple, inexpensive way to upgrade your kitchen, try the new LuxRock Solid Surface Granite Countertop Kit from Deitch Coatings. It's an easy four-step process that you can do yourself to give your counters authentic granite elegance in just a weekend. And because it's formulated with real stone, this revolutionary product resists stains, heat, and impact to deliver a high-end appearance with smooth richness that rivals a professional granite installation at a fraction of the cost. Find LuxRock online at the Home Depot or at DeitchCoatings.com. Is your concrete driveway, sidewalk, or patio looking old and worn? Time and exposure to the elements can cause concrete to flake, discolor, or just look dull. Now you can easily renew your concrete surfaces with Quikrete Recap Concrete Resurfacer at a fraction of the cost of replacing it, and you can do it yourself. Quikrete Recap will give you a durable new finish that will last for years. For more information on Recap, visit Quikrete.com. Quikrete, what America's made of.
Transform your kitchen or bathroom with a beautifully tiled backsplash all by yourself in as fast as one day with Simple Mat from Custom Building Products. Simple Mat is a unique double-sided adhesive mat designed to bond tile to backsplashes or countertops. There's no mixing of powder, no mess to clean up, and no waiting for the mortar to harden. Simply set the tile onto the mat, then grout. It's the quickest, easiest, cleanest way to install tile. Visit thesimplemat.com for more information. Available exclusively at the Home Depot. Take today's homeowner with you wherever you go with our popular podcast channel. Listen to our daily tips for today's homeowner. Get answers to your most common questions with our Ask Danny podcast. Or catch up on past episodes of the Today's Homeowner radio show. They're all designed to help you find solutions that work for your home. And they're available on demand on our Today's Homeowner podcast channel. Just search Today's Homeowner podcast on your favorite app and listen today.
Could your backyard use a makeover? You can create beautiful outdoor living spaces with Rumblestone from Pavestone. Create a paver patio or walkway, garden retaining wall, grill enclosure, fire pit, or even an outdoor kitchen. These rustic building blocks make it easy and they look great. Rumblestone from Pavestone is available at the Home Depot. And be sure to check out the project ideas and how-to videos at pavestone.com. That's pavestone.com.
Today's homeowner is brought to you by Deitch Coatings. Easily roll on your new stone countertop, garage floor, and more in just a weekend with Deitch.
Hey, Danny Lipford here, along with my buddy Joe Truini, and you're listening to Today's Homeowner Radio. Hey, we love getting emails from you. You can send us one right now by going to todayshomeowner.com/ask. That's what Bethany from New Hampshire did. Said, our bathroom is really dated, so we've been trying to bring it up into this century. We've done a lot of paint and new fixtures, but the countertops, listen to this, Joe, but the vanity countertop still screams 1982. And listen to this. I'm talking butcher block laminate in a bathroom.
Oh, my gosh. I haven't seen that in a long time.
Really? With a question mark. Yeah, that's what I would say. Is there anything we can do short of completely replacing it that would improve the appearance? The sink's in pretty good shape, so I hate to rip it all out. Well, Bethany, a great, great question, and one that we have gotten a lot, and the refinishing kits we've used a number of times, and that butcher block laminate in the bathroom, yeah, it probably needs to go, but it doesn't have to be torn out. The good news is that very thing. You don't have to rip it out. You can cover it up. And if you like the look of granite, I'd recommend something we just used the other day on one of our television shows. It's called LuxRock. It's solid surface granite countertop kit from our friends at Deitch Coatings. Now, it's a coating that includes a decorative blend of real stone that creates great mineral highlights in the surface. So it's an economical way to get granite countertops without the demolition or cost of getting a heavy slab installed or having to do all of that plumbing. And it's a great weekend project that anyone can do, because if you can use a paintbrush, you can tackle this project. Plus, they released a new smaller kit that's perfect for bathrooms. bathroom renovations because instead of covering 40 square feet, it covers just 20 square feet, making it more affordable at less than $200. You need to go check it out and look at some of the videos and some of the different colors that are available at DeitchCoatings.com to find out a lot more. That really is amazing, step-by-step, easy to take care of. Hey, rolling right into another email from Stephanie in Greenwood, Indiana. I love your show, and I have two questions. I have one of those large Whirlpool tubs from the 90s, and when I turn on the jets, black stuff comes out. I've tried everything. I've tried vinegar, bleach, blowing out the jets so that they're empty and nothing works. What would you recommend? Joe, we've heard this, and I'll tell you, I've actually stayed in a couple hotels and some resort areas, turned on the hot tub, turned that button, and jumped out of the hot tub as fast as I jumped in all of that. It, you know, and I can't remember exactly what it is. It's like a closed loop system is one that will have that will not drain out completely when you turn the Whirlpool off. And that's as a result, you have those loops in the line. Water stays in there. It's dark. It's wet. And what is that going to do? It's going to grow mold and mildew like you wouldn't believe. So, yes, the black stuff you're seeing is mold or mildew, and you got to get rid of it. Is there a way that you know, Joe, to really flush this out, or is it something that you just have to keep doing till it clears up?
Yeah, no, well, you definitely have to clear it out. I mean, you have black stuff shooting out of the jets. That's not good. And you're right to jump out of the water because you don't want to be in that. You can get sick. She said she tried bleach and, vinegar, bleach and vinegar, whatever. But the one recipe I heard that works. I've not tried this, but this is what one of the manufacturers recommended, is you fill your tub with hot water, the hottest water that'll come out of the tap. So it's at least 2 inches above the highest jet, right? So you want all those jets, however many there are, submerged in at least 2 inches of water. Then you want to add a full half gallon of distilled white vinegar, then run the jets at the highest speed for a good 15 or 20 minutes. Just let it run. And what that's doing, of course, it's circulating all that vinegar water through the jets, and then drain the tub, refill it again with cold water this time. No vinegar, just cold water, and run the jets for another 10 or 15 minutes. And once it's dry, then wipe the tub down, dry up the tub. So that's the first thing. And you might need, depending on how much bacteria is built up, you might need to do that two or three times until it starts running clear. So that's the best thing you do. If that doesn't work, call the manufacturer. Maybe they have a commercial product they sell or can recommend.
The last question from Stephanie, she mentions, also I have a brick paver patio that I have locking sand in the joints. Some of the sand stuck to the surface of the bricks and won't come off. Please help.
Yeah, if what she's referring to is polymeric sand that has a binder in it, that helps the sand lock together so it doesn't wash out as easily. And if you read the directions, it says very clearly when you put this between the bricks and you rinse it off, you have to rinse it off the bricks. Don't leave this sand on the brick because of this exact reason. It'll stick on. The binders will stick and could stain the brick. The best thing to do is to use a commercial brick and block paver cleaner. They actually make a paver cleaner. There's one called, I think it's called Masonry Saver. They're like an acidic solution in them, and that will clean that off.
Great information, and we want to share with you more when we come up, because next up is our simple solution. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Are drafty windows causing a chill in your home? Keep the cold out with Duck Brand Max Strength Rolled Window Insulation Kits. This window film creates an added barrier between warm inside air and the frigid temperatures outside, blocking drafts that steal energy and drive up your heating bill. The puncture-resistant film is 2 times thicker than standard window kits, so it's great for high-traffic or pet-friendly homes. And the crystal-clear film is easy to install and remove once warmer weather arrives. Visit duckbrand.com to find a retailer near you.
Hi, Danny and Chelsea here.
If you're an explorer, we want to invite you to make our home, Mobile, Alabama, your next adventure.
Explore the great outdoors on America's Amazon, the Mobile Tensaw River Delta.
Explore science and technology with the whole family at the Explorium Science Center.
Explore fantastic cuisine at unique restaurants throughout the city.
Explore our history in museums, forts, and sites like Battleship Memorial Park.
Plan your next adventure on the Gulf Coast at mobile.org.
Got a project? Tight Bond wood glues are preferred by pro woodworkers more than 7 to 1. Why? Because Tight Bond is professional strength, even stronger than the wood itself. Tight Bond is versatile, perfect for interior and exterior woodworking, and the best choice for home repairs. Tight Bond is tough and durable, outlasting extreme weather conditions and conquering demanding projects. Tight Bond Wood Glues, the trusted choice for the pro in you.
When you download the Home Depot app, taking on big or small projects starts with a tap. It's your pocket-sized toolbox for getting more done. Image search helps you find what you need with a snap. Store mode pinpoints exactly where to go to get what you want while you're at our store. Or just tap to arrange for easy curbside pickup, all from the palm of your hand. It's the app that's made for doing. The Home Depot app, how doers get more done.
Welcome back to Today's Homeowner Radio. Here are Danny and Joe.
Joe and I appreciate so much you being with us each and every week here on Today's Homeowner Radio. Hope anything that you're working on is going well. If you run into a little snag, let us know. We want to help you. And many times, the solution will be very simple, just like the simple solution that Joe brings to us each and every hour here on Today's Homeowner Radio. What do you have, Joe?
All right, Danny, the wood fascia boards on most homes are very susceptible to blistered paint and water staining and rot because they're attached at the very lower edge of the roof, right behind the gutters. The gutters are usually attached to the fascia. And when water's running off the roof, sometimes it has a tendency to drip behind the gutter, and of course, it rots out the fascia board. So here's how to fix that. Cut a thin strip of wood. I usually recommend pressure-treated wood. It only needs to be about 3/8 inch thick and maybe 3/4 inch wide, so you can get like a 1x board of pressure-treated. Just rip it into 3/8 inch thick strips. And what you want to do is tuck that up underneath the metal drip edge. There's a little drip edge, sometimes called drip cap, that goes along the edge of the roof so that that supports the very lowest edge of the shingles, the roof shingles. So if you slip it behind that, what that does is it kicks out the bottom of that drip edge so that as water's running off, it'll hit it and make it into the gutter and not drip behind it. So that's a simple solution, is just to kick out that drip edge a little bit. And now I also want to recommend, if you find that the wood is rotted enough that you have to take down the gutters and replace it, don't put wood back, even pressure-treated wood at that point, since you have it down. I would put cellular PVC, often it's known as AZEK, A-Z-E-K, basically because plastic lumber. Home Depot has a house brand called Veranda, which is just as good. It's just white plastic lumber. So put it up, because if you just put wood up, then you may have additional rotting. So if you're going to replace it not with wood, but with cellular PVC.
This is a good example. There's many examples where, and I know it sounds a little crazy, but the next time you get a pretty good driving rain around your home, go ahead and put on your rain gear, your umbrella, and maybe even the binoculars, and walk around the outside of your house looking at how the water is flowing. You want that water to flow safely off the roof. If you have gutters, to go in the gutters, and you want to make sure those downspouts are directing that water away from the house. You don't want any water ponding around your home at any place. It can affect your foundation after a while. So make sure your flower beds are not creating a damming effect that keeps the water against the house. Get that water away from your house and your house will last a lot longer and like you a lot more. Very important.
One other thing I want to add, Danny, if you have a long run of gutter that has a downspout on each end, check each downspout. You'd be surprised how often you'll find one downspout is maybe draining beautifully and all the water's rushing out. The other one, there's either no water or very little water coming out. So that means one of two things, either it's clogged or the gutter's pitched in such a way that very little water is getting to that second downspout. So check that as well.
And that can be adjusted fairly easy. Again, sure. You just kind of observe it a little bit and but don't walk out with the umbrella if it's lightning. Just a little tip.
You don't want to
do the Ben Franklin thing there. Hey, I want to remind you what you can see on the Today's Homeowner television show this weekend. It's called Guest Room Update, one of our brand new episodes of our show in our 25th season. You know, you might have that guest bedroom that you just kind of use it as a dumping ground. You're not really sure what purpose you have there. And then when you do have guests coming by, you're scurrying around to try to make it look nice and neat. Why not do a guest room update like we did on this particular room? Costs less than $500. You got to check it out. You won't believe what $500 will do to a room after we've done what we've done. We put in an accent wall that was a board and batten wall, very do-it-yourself friendly accent wall. We put in some floating shelves. Of course, paint always makes a difference. And then a few other little adjustments that really change the look of it considerably. Go to todayshomeowner.com to find out where you can see the show in your area this weekend. All right, that's pretty much going to wrap up the first hour of Today's Homeowner Radio. I'm Danny Lipford along with my buddy Joe Truini. Thanks so much for spending some time with us here on Today's Homeowner Radio.